Welcome to The Extra, the show connecting you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. Well, March is National Women's History Month, and the Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum is proud to join organizations across the country in commemorations that examine the vital role of women in American history. The CSPM shares stories of local women through the galleries and online exhibits that they have on display there. And joining us this morning with information on Women's History Month at the Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum is Leah Davis Withrow, who's the curator of history. Welcome to the show, Leah.
Well, good morning. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to talk about women's history.
We love this aspect of it. And I think this resonates with a lot of visitors who go to the Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum. So let's start with, how does the CSPM showcase stories of local women?
Great question. Well, I always say if we're not talking about women, we're missing 50% of the story. So we believe in sharing women's history every single day of the year. Now, March is, of course, a special opportunity to really focus on women's history, but women's stories are reflected in all of our galleries. And Shannon, as you know, right now, the museum is undergoing a massive HVAC project. So our beautiful historic building, the 1903 El Paso County Courthouse, is currently closed. But we have opened up an annex gallery right across the park. It's actually located in the South Tower of the Plaza of the Rockies building at 121 South Tejon Street, Suite 100. And in this gallery space, we couldn't fit the whole museum in, of course, but we wanted, of course, women's stories have to be told. So we brought over our interactive storytelling platform called The Story of Us. So guests can explore the alphabet. It's the Pikes Peak region A to Z. They can use the alphabet to click on a letter and learn about what makes our history so unique. So some of those stories about women are B is for Bloomer Girl. Bloomer Girl stands for Julia Archibald Holmes, who was the first woman to have climbed Pikes Peak and written about it. She climbed Pikes Peak in 1858, and she sent letters back home to Kansas to her friends and family that were published in the newspaper. And she extolled this sort of rugged physical challenge that she underwent climbing up Pikes Peak. And so we talk about her story and the role she played in women's activism. She was an abolitionist. She promoted women's suffrage. She's just a really interesting piece of our history. But then we also talk about people like Miriam Liu, who co-founded Current, which was a company, at one time was the largest private employer in Colorado Springs.
And several of my friends used to work there, so yes.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's hard not to find a Current connection in Colorado Springs. When you start to talk about the Current company, and it's really the Current family, they all felt like they were part of the family. Mm-hmm. Lots of women were employed there. They offered part-time opportunities to work to women who were mothers so they could work around their kids' school schedules and be off in the summer. But Miriam Liu is the heart of this company, and it's her recipes that were published in cookbooks. It is her ideas that were used to sell products around the world. So Miriam Liu is someone we talk about in The Story of Us. And then we talk about Sankofa. This is a group of five extraordinary women. Eventually it grew to more, but five African-American women who lived in Colorado Springs in the early 90s, and they looked around and they said, we see a need. We want to fill a gap. We want to help educate people about the African diaspora. We want to link especially kids to their culture of origin. So through dance and music and storytelling, and of course food. Food's always a wonderful way to link culture. They really created community in Colorado Springs. They provided arts opportunities. And when you click on S is for Sankofa in The Story of Us, you can see some of their performances. You can listen to their oral histories. And you can learn more about how these women, and all the women I've mentioned, have made a tremendous impact on Colorado Springs.
The letter E, if you were to click on that, I have a feeling I know who we're going to talk about, but why don't you describe this important woman in our history?
Thank you for that hint. Shannon, E is for Elvira. And some folks know, but others might not, that Elvira actually grew up in Colorado Springs. She and her family moved here when she was in elementary school. And her aunt owned a costume shop. And if you think about Elvira and how she loves a good costume, she said she was actually influenced by her aunt's costume shop called the Ivy Wild Costume Shop. So she grew up here. She graduated from Palmer High School. And then she went on to move to Hollywood and became, of course, a famous, infamous, how do you put it?
A host of various TV programs, I guess you would say.
A very well-known character, actress.
Yes.
And she's so recognizable. When the museum reopens, in addition to learning about her through E is for Elvira, when the museum reopens, I encourage folks to come into the gallery, and we have a mannequin dressed as Elvira. And let me just say, she makes a terrific impression.
I love it. Well, and also here with, you know, the military influence and the aviation influence, you've also tried to shine a spotlight on women who have had a role in that, right?
Absolutely. We have deep, deep military roots in this community, and it's always important to connect folks who they may live in Colorado Springs for just a year or two or maybe three, and they're stationed at one of our many installations. Our military history is so deep-rooted, we're always looking for opportunities to connect audiences with it, and so we borrowed an exhibit from the Smithsonian Museum of Air and Flight, and the Smithsonian History Museum, and it is called Black Wings, American Dreams of Flight, and it tells the history of black aviators in America. And one of my favorite stories is from this exhibit is Bessie Coleman. Bessie was an extraordinary individual who I think can serve as an inspiration to us today and to future generations. She grew up in the era when flight really began, and she set her sights on becoming a pilot. And of course, at that time, the obstacles were tremendous. Doors were closed to women, and they were closed to African Americans. But she said, never take no for an answer. She saved up money and traveled to France to undergo flight training and became the first licensed African-American pilot in the entire world.
Wow.
Then she returned home. I mean, it's an incredible story. Folks have to come to the CSBM Annex to learn more about it. She returned home, and then she traveled across the country doing barnstorming. She was, you know, a trick pilot. But every stop along the way, she took the opportunity to go to a school or a church and to talk to folks and answer questions. And it's really the ultimate, if you see it, you can be it principle. She wanted to demonstrate to other folks that they too should never take no for an answer, and they too could become pilots.
Well, Leah, we need to take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to be talking about more of how you can mark Women's History Month by visiting the CSPM Annex. We'll talk about that, as well as how the CSPM commemorates women's history through this month with lectures. We'll talk about that when the extra continues. We're back with our second segment here of the Extra, and our guest today is Leah Davis Withrow, Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum, who's the curator of history. And before the break, we were talking about someone really making history, who made history, we should say, Bessie Coleman, the first African American woman to obtain her pilot's license in the entire world. And it's part of a special traveling exhibition from the Smithsonian. So, Leah, what else can people learn about when it comes to some of these exhibits?
Oh, sure. Well, we do tell women's stories in all of our exhibits. One of my favorite stories that we're currently telling is called Una Familia Grande, the Conejos Neighborhood Project. This is a neighborhood, Conejos Neighborhood, no longer exists. Today it's the site of America the Beautiful Park. But this is an opportunity to see how one person can tell a really powerful story. When we began to look into the history of this neighborhood, we turned to Josie Ontiveros, who actually was born and raised in Conejos, and she became the neighborhood storyteller. She shared with us a map that she drew from memory, She's in her 80s now. And Josie drew a map of her neighborhood listing every single family that lived in the neighborhood. And she helped us understand the deep connections that people in the Conejos neighborhood had. We learned about her father and his work with the Denver and Rio Grande Railway. We learned about her mother and her dual roles in the home and also working as a laundress. Josie Ontiveros eventually went on to get her teacher's license and became a beloved school district 11 teacher for decades. That's the kind of story that we love sharing, and women have always been storytellers, so we always look to them to learn about their neighborhood and their personal history.
So in talking about these stories, how can the public engage with these community stories through the Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum and its programs?
Absolutely. Well, of course, during Women's History Month, we offer a special series of exhibits and programs and opportunities, one of which is the History Stroll, Women's Voices, Women's Lives. And then we have an ongoing Pikes Peak Regional History Lecture Series. We offer a lecture, a presentation. Sometimes it's film, sometimes it's someone telling their own personal story or academic research that they've compiled every single month of the year, and we make sure that many of these stories are about women. This month, we have none other than Nav Wong Sandoval, who is a refugee activist and advocate. She came to the United States through the auspices of Lutheran Family Services right here in Colorado Springs. Colorado Springs was actually her first home in America. Then her family moved up to Denver. She's going to be talking about refugee women as change makers. Now, I have to tell you, these opportunities are all sold out at this point, but we'd love for people to go to our website, cspm.org, and learn more about special opportunities and more programs that we'll be offering all year long.
There's also a program that you have or that you're partnering in called the Pikes Peak Avenue Cultural Corridor Banner Program. Tell us about this.
Oh, this is a really fun opportunity. So Downtown Ventures, which is the nonprofit arm of Downtown Partnership here in Colorado Springs, has a program called Pikes Peak Avenue Cultural Corridor, in which during certain months of the year, we celebrate, we really highlight the impact and legacies of individuals. Last month was Black History Month, and this month is Women's History Month. So we work with them to identify stories that should be told, and then the women's photographs go up on banners along the cultural corridor, Pikes Peak Avenue, from Cascade all the way to Wasatch. And then we create a biography that folks can read online. If they're walking down Pikes Peak Avenue, there are QR codes that'll take them to the website, and they can learn more about these fabulous folks. One of my favorites is Bea Vredenburg, who was a woman who moved here with her husband when he had a job opportunity in Colorado Springs, and she ended up leaving a tremendous cultural impact. She was really the mover, the leader behind the creation of our beloved Pikes Peak Center. And it was built to be state of the art, and she led that project. She raised money for it, and she had a passion for taking music to the people. So she also created a Music in the Parks program that still continues to some extent today. She's the kind of person who moved to Colorado Springs, chose it as her home, and then made this a better place for all of us.
Oh, fascinating, Leah. Well, certainly the Vredenburg Foundation continues doing that kind of work even today. So when we come back, though, we're going to continue keeping the focus on the Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum, the CSPM. And if you'd like to find out more about what they're doing in these programs we're talking about, you can go to cspm.org. When we come back, we'll talk about the Women's Suffrage Tour, what the CSPM is doing with that. That's when the extra continues. We're back with the extra in our second half hour, and our guest today, Leah Davis Withrow, who's the curator of history for the Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum. And Leah, first of all, let's talk about how it's not just speaking programs, but also you do walking tours, right?
Absolutely. We do guided walking tours. I'm doing two this month myself, but then we have an extra special opportunity to folks. If they don't want to come to a tour at a particular time, they can take their own tour through our Story of Us platform. They can find more information out about this at cspm.org. We have a Story of Us mobile tour on women's suffrage in Colorado Springs. And we all carry around these incredible computers in our pockets, known as cell phones. So folks can take a tour around Colorado Springs that will share fabulous stories about women active in the suffrage movement. Shannon, women in Colorado gained the right to vote in 1893. That's almost a full over 25 years before women on the national level gained the right to vote. And many of the women who were working the hardest to promote women's suffrage, women's right to the ballot, were from right here in Colorado Springs. We tell the stories of women like Natalie Gray and Dr. Caroline Spencer, who were part of something called the National Woman's Party. And they went to Washington, D.C., and they stood outside President Woodrow Wilson's White House with banners that said, "America is fighting for democracy abroad." This was during World War I. "We are fighting for democracy at home." They were called the Silent Sentinels. Three women from Colorado Springs went to D.C. to silently protest how women in America didn't enjoy democracy, and they were arrested, they were jailed, and guess what they did when they got back out of jail?
Went right back to protesting, I bet.
They went right back to protesting, and they took this message all across the country. So when you go to cspm.org and you look up our Story of Us mobile tour on women's suffrage, we will take you around Colorado Springs and show you the places they lived, the places they worked, and the places where this story unfolded.
Fascinating. We think we take some of these rights for granted now, but it took the work of real women from right here to help make it happen, because before then, men only were allowed to have a voice in our government and our democracy. Let's talk about some of these community stories, because the CSPM is very good about organizing them and making them more well known in our community.
Absolutely. You know, it is my really pleasure and privilege to be able to work sometimes with neighborhoods to tell the stories in their neighborhoods. I recently worked with the Hillside neighborhood to tell the story of Mayor Leon Young, working with neighborhoods like Boulder Park, currently working with folks in the Valley High neighborhood. You can never have too much history. So my job is to collect, along with a great team of colleagues, I might add, to collect this history, to preserve it, and to share it. And we are learning new stories all the time. For instance, I got an email from a young person who said, "I think you would really be interested in the story of my great-grandmother." And when she began to tell me this story, I knew that we had to share it in the museum. And this is the story of Mama Susie Perkins. Would you like to hear the story?
Yes, please. I'm intrigued. Tell us why this great-grandmother is so important in our history.
This is an incredible woman. Mama Susie Perkins moved to Colorado Springs in the 1930s because her mother had asthma. And lots of people have come here over time for their health. She arrives here. She is the daughter of sharecroppers, the granddaughter of formerly enslaved people, and she has big dreams, big ambition. She wants to own a home. She wants to help her family own homes. She's an entrepreneur. So she, after looking around, she sees an opportunity. She buys a garbage truck, and she drives this garbage truck around every day, 6 days a week, 12, 14, 16 hours a day. And eventually, she has an entire fleet of garbage trucks. And she bought a home. She bought her parents. She bought her mother a home. She bought other family members' homes. She paid for educations. But she never wanted to stop. So she eventually had a fleet of trucks. She had an empire. And she, as she drove around Colorado Springs, she could have quit at any time, but she didn't want to quit. She noticed empty homes around downtown Colorado Springs and on the city's east side. So she began to purchase those homes and flip them, although they didn't have that term back in the 40s and 50s. That's a new term. She began to flip them with the help of family members, and then she rented them out to folks that couldn't find homes in Colorado Springs at that time. So she rented them out to Black Fort Carson soldiers and their families, single mothers, and she eventually owned over 100 properties. Think of all the thousands of people she helped provide a home for. This is one of my favorite parts. She was a quiet philanthropist. She never wanted to draw attention to her large gifts or her generosity. She adopted Washington Elementary on the city's west side, which at the time had some of the poorest students in Colorado Springs. She adopted that school so that no child went hungry. She paid for their lunches, school supplies, Christmas presents, and she did it all very quietly and anonymously. She was actually awarded Western Baptist Convention Woman of the Year in the early 1970s and recognized by our mayor for her generosity, her philanthropy, and her entrepreneurship. I think she's a powerful example.
Oh, you have me near tears here, saluting Mama Susie Perkins. And so her story is featured in some of your galleries, is that what I understand?
It is. If you want to learn more about Mama Susie Perkins, you can go to our website and click on the COS at 150 exhibit. And her story is told in the gallery, and it's also told virtually. We have photographs of her, we have artifacts, and we have, for more information, we have a bibliography. You can learn more about her, and we have suggestions on where to go to continue your learning. We always say museums are a great first place to start learning about a topic. And our goal is to get you interested and then encourage you to continue learning.
Suck you into that history.
That's right.
Leah, we're taking a break here. Leah Withrow with the CSPM, Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum. You can find out more by going to cspm.org. When we come back, more with Leah Davis Withrow. You're listening to The Extra. We're back with our final segment here on The Extra with our curator of history for the Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum, Leah Davis Withrow. And she's been sharing some stories. And one thing I think that is important to know about history is that these were women, and we're talking about women because it's National Women's History Month, but we're talking about women because they show how people can break down barriers, blaze trails, better themselves, achieve major contributions to whether it's our democracy or other things or our community, and do it all while starting from basically the same humble beginnings as all of us, right?
That's exactly right. We feel strongly that any museum, and in this case, the CSPM, our museum should be a mirror to our community so that when you walk in our doors, you see a bit of your own story reflected back to you. And to do that, we have to tell a wide variety of stories. And I think if you tell someone a good story, boy, you hook them. You get them connected to history. Instead of memorizing names and dates, it's really important to tell a story to make people It really impacts them. It can inspire them. Stories can also help develop empathy. And again, if you see an example of someone breaking a barrier or overcoming obstacles and challenges, you look at them as an example of how they did it, maybe you could do it too. So it's really, I think museums are a place of possibilities, and we create these possibilities by sharing examples of how everyone can create change. It's also really important for folks to know if they have a good story, it can be themselves, it could be their grandmother, their mother, their neighbor. We would love to learn it. So they can contact me, Leah Davis Withrow, at the CSPM. If they go onto our website, my email is available. Share a photo, share their story. In fact, we feel so strongly in this that we actually created a vehicle for people to upload stories and share information with us. If they go to our Story of Us online exhibit, the Y in the alphabet stands for Y-O-U, you. You can upload photographs, videos. You can tell us about someone. Whose story should we be telling in the museum? Who needs to go on exhibit next? Those are the ideas we'd love to hear from folks around the community.
Oh, I love that interactivity. That's great. So you mentioned a little while earlier the story a little bit about B. Vredenburg, so important in our community, but worked from a humble beginnings, as we were saying. So let's talk a little bit more about her contributions to the community.
Well, I did mention a little bit about B. And one thing I want to make sure people understand is that we're creating history right now. Sometimes folks think of history as 100 years ago, 200 years ago, or even longer, but everyone who's making a contribution to our community, they're making history. And B is this great example of someone who moved here from somewhere else. Shannon, I moved here from someone mm-hmm. else.
Yeah.
Else. I don't know if you did as well.
A lot of people do. Yes. Very few natives in town.
That's right. I mean, there are some folks that are lucky enough to be born here, and the rest of us, of course, got here as soon as we could. But it really demonstrates how everyone can make a difference. So B of Radenburg, again, coming from outside the community and then getting involved just with a committee. And then soon enough, she found herself in charge of the entire Pikes Peak Symphony movement and helping fundraise for this incredible building where I don't know if you've been to shows there, but it's a fabulous community mm-hmm. resource. And then someone else who we're just beginning to tell her story, because sadly she passed away last year, is Kathleen Fox Collins, who also moved to our community as a young single mother. She'd recently been divorced. She got interested in the arts and culture movement right away, and she had a profound impact on the arts in the Pikes Peak region, and actually was on the board of the B. Vredenburg Foundation. So it's really legacy building, and those are the stories that we're proud to tell every single day in our galleries. And I'd really invite folks to explore online the story of us, visit the annex, and then please come to the museum when we reopen. Can I share a special announcement
please
with you?
Please do. Yeah, I'm very excited.
So this hasn't been made public yet. You're the first to know. When we reopen this building, we will have a brand new exhibit called 50% of the Story, Women Expressing Creativity. And we are putting together in one gallery historic works of art from our collection created by women, in addition to contemporary works of art by the talented, creative, fabulously talented women in our community right now. And then we're also including historic artifacts. How did women tell their stories through artifacts and create beauty when formal art training was closed to them? Maybe they made a beautiful dress for their daughter. Maybe they hand-painted china. Maybe they made a weaving. How have women always across time expressed creativity? This gallery is going to be packed with beautiful, powerful examples of women telling their stories through art and creativity. And it's going to open when we reopen sometime this summer, and it's not to be missed.
Oh, well, that is the perfect place on which to end this extra show. Very excited for that, and congratulations to you and your staff for putting that together and for handling this transition, because it's not easy to move to a temporary space, the annex, and then be moving back, but it'll be a much improved experience in the Pioneers Museum when you finally get back onto that home turf. So if you would like to find out more, and you've been listening to our discussion about all the fantastic women who have helped form our history, our community, you can visit the Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum Annex and also their website at cspm.org. There you can find out more about their offerings. And to our guest today, Leah Davis Withrow with the Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum, the curator of history there. Leah, thank you for joining us and sharing all these stories.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity, and happy Women's History Month.